Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This is St. Louis's News Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends.
And this is Overtime.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's start this portion of the show. It is definitely a Monday, ladies and gentlemen. If you wanted to just go back to bed and pull the covers up over your head, I would not blame you. Anyway, we shall soldier on. We'll see if we can't... We can't get Roger out of his bunker where he did his last traffic report. Also, it is really going to be hot and steamy. As Dean said, we have a ton of rain on the way. So there's that. And then it was 2:45 this morning, and I was just getting up and checking Twitter to see what I missed because I totally checked out of the news on Sunday. I was having like a news-free Sunday. I'm like, oh, why is St. Louis trending on Twitter? Oh, for goodness sakes. You know, it's... Just wanted to go right back to bed. Good morning, Amy Markscores and Charlie Brennan.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So never a dull moment these days. An estimated 500 protesters marched on Mayor Crewson's home last night. They were sitting in the street, basically, in front of her house. Some I did notice from videos were sitting in her lawn, too, which I think some of her plants got trampled, which isn't nice. But there was a barricade, but that kind of got knocked over. And they were want Mayor Crewson to resign. So, okay, first things first, Friday, the mayor was reading letters from people who want to defund the police and fund other things with some of that money. And she was reading their names and addresses on a Facebook Live a broadcast. And people were upset because they were saying, okay, this can put people at risk. The mayor apologized. The video was taken down. She said she did not mean to cause anyone harm. That's apparently how they do things if you were to submit it at, say, a council at a board of aldermen meeting. Charlie, should the mayor step down for doing this? What do you think of her reading the names and addresses of people?
No, I don't think she should step down, Debbie. I think it's a big nothing burger. You know, for years, we all had our names and addresses along with our phone number in a book that everyone had access to. It was called The White Pages by Southwestern Bell. And in fact, for many years, newspapers would print the addresses of just about everybody whenever they were in a story. In this case, when people were filing a complaint or making a comment about defunding the police to the mayor, they included their address, and she read them. Now, I don't know if I would have done it quite like that, but, you know, do we really think that people can't otherwise find people's addresses? And what's more, the individuals who are so upset that she released the names and addresses of those expressing opinions decided to go to her home, mm-hmm. as if she's got no privacy or right to some sort of peace at her own home. So they violated the very things that they were concerned about, which just seemed to be the biggest hypocritical move I've seen in a long time.
Right. And it was a mistake. It was a mistake. And that information is public record. Now, it's different than reading it because in order to get that information, the requester does have to provide their own identifying information so you can tell if those people are starting to become harassed. So, yeah, it was a mistake. However, do I think that those constituents' lives are in danger? I don't. And partly to Charlie's point about the hypocrisy of it, of them showing up at Lyda Crewson's house, the left is unique, the very, very far left and the outrage mob, and I just don't think there is a right-wing equivalent to the outrage mob and leftist cancel culture. And what I mean is the addresses of the people who want to defund the police, I think because that is their stance, they're going to be fine. The people who want to support police and law enforcement are not going to take action and go to those people's homes.
Okay, but the story of Lyda Crewson and whether she should resign became overshadowed when a couple steps out of their huge mansion. I'm not exactly sure where this is in relation to Mayor Crewson's home, but on the same block, apparently. And as the protesters are going by down the street, this couple comes out with their guns. The woman had a handgun. The man had a big, long gun, I don't know, an AR-15 or whatever, and they start pointing it at the protesters and at each other, and the pictures have gone viral. Thoughts on that, Amy Marks-Kors?
Sure. Well, I mean, on the surface, it looks silly. One, they're not really practicing any gun safety. It looks like the woman's hand is on the trigger of the gun and she's flinging the gun about. And I'm pretty sure the husband had his gun pointed at his wife for like 30 seconds. So they're not showing gun safety at all. So I can see why these went viral. Now, you do have a Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms and protect your home if you were in grave danger. It didn't seem to be they were in danger. So, yes, they come across as silly. What's interesting is my inbox was filling up with headlines, one of which being this couple. You know, these photos are going viral. And then also right underneath that, we see 12 people shot, on 11 people wounded, one person killed on Friday night and Saturday morning. Another headline about two teens are shot because they asked another boy how tall he was. And they were just buying candy and said, "How tall are you?" And they shot him. So I feel like we're getting distracted by a very silly photo.
I concur. Now, first of all, the photo is great because it looked like the guy was dressed kind of like a yuppie country club casual or something. And
a
then he's got an AR-15.
Shirt.
I almost thought it was out of The Onion, or I thought it was satire for a moment there.
A terrible Vineyard Vine ad.
Yeah. And it, first of all, it's kind of provocative. You don't know if somebody in the crowd has a firearm. And in fact, in many cases, they do. Up in Florissant, there has been gunfire. Last week, a guy protesting in gunfire accidentally shot himself in his own foot. And that didn't make the attention. So there's kind of a double standard. If some white family is protecting their property with firearms, we get a photo of that. We send it across the nation. It becomes a big story. But if a African-American protester or a white protester has a firearm, why does that not become the same story? Why don't we discuss that?
Well, we did cover the story. We at least did have the story of the person shooting themselves in the foot. I know we did do that story all morning long.
I don't know if we may have talked about it on this segment, but I may have forgotten about it. But there are many firearms among the protesters. There were in Ferguson. There are in Florissant. I don't know so much in the city of St. Louis recently because I just haven't heard about that. But they have heard gunfire in Florissant for sure, and it doesn't make the national news, Debbie.
You have to admit the visual here. I mean, these two people in front of their mansion with their guns. It was very.
I know.
It was quite a photo.
I understand the photo and the photo rules, but a 4-year-old was killed in Berkeley this weekend. A great rapper by the name of Huey, sometimes known as Baby Huey, was killed. But what makes the news? You know, the white couple with their firearms.
Get ready for another Cardinals Classic game, sponsored by Lux Galore International. Tonight, from 2013, the National League Championship Series Game 1 between the Cards and Dodgers. Hear it here, Amron Pregame Show 615 on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
It is 8:42. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Charlie Brennan and Amy Marks-Kors. We are not done talking about the possible privatization of St. Louis Lambert International Airport. There's a special session of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen set for today to discuss the future of Lambert. And they will debate a plan that would have voters decide whether to lease Lambert to private investors. There are a few alder persons who think this is a bad idea. Megan Green warning that this is a rushed deal. She said she's never seen anything go through the Board of Aldermen this fast and that there's a lot of fine print about how this would work. Charlie, your thoughts on moving too quickly and not making sure you have all the facts?
Yeah, Alderman Green is exactly right on this. It's a huge issue and it deserves lots of thought and deliberation and discussion, and it is being rushed through. The idea is to put this in front of the voters, and already they've collected twice as many signatures as needed to do that in November. But just in case that doesn't work out, they want to go through the aldermanic route as well. We're going to talk about this with Kara Spencer and Lewis Reed, both members of the Board of Aldermen, next hour at about 9:35, I think. But the details really aren't there. Let's say we sell the airport or lease it for $1.8 billion. $800 million or so goes to pay off the debt. The other $1 billion is going to be used for projects. Okay, so what kind of projects? Loop trolleys? It's not specified. So I'm really skeptical about this, like all projects that are rushed through.
Right, and it was cloaked with so much secrecy at the beginning for the past month or years or however long it's been that I think everybody's kind of looking at this issue with a side eye, right? Okay, as you mentioned, how are the funds going to be spent? Has anybody really looked into whether or not this works, whether or not this would work for this region? I'm not even sure that if a vote is taken that people will be happy with the results, whatever those results are. Maybe somebody will say there wasn't enough information disseminated about exactly what it means to privatize the airport, a la Brexit. So I'm not sure, but it may be a while.
I think another concern for me is when they're saying it could be more than $1 billion of money that could help pay for city services and poverty in North St. Louis. That sounds nice. But I just have this vision in my head of people like, make it rain, you know, oh, woo, there's cash just raining down. And
well, don't forget, the first $44 million goes into the pockets of Rex Singfield, because he was the one who funded the failed effort that the mayor yanked last December or thereabouts. And under this proposal, as soon as this passes, he gets to recoup his dollars. So it's really the Rex Singfield buyout plan.
All right, let's see what you think about this story. This the way that these big stories drop one after the other makes it so hard to pay attention to any one thing, because in a normal time, what I don't even know what that is anymore, this would probably be a huge story. According to published reports, Russian bounty is offered to Taliban militants in Afghanistan to kill U.S. or U.K. troops there, are believed to have resulted in the deaths of multiple U.S. troops. Multiple people familiar with the matter are saying it is not clear how many U.S. troops may have been killed as a result of those bounties. The question was, did the president know? And if he didn't, why? And if he did, why didn't he do anything or say anything to Vladimir Putin? But the president tweeting last night, Intel just reported to me that they did not find this info credible and therefore did not report it to me or the VP. Thoughts, Amy?
Well, both Democrats and Republicans are demanding answers from the White House, and I agree with them. I just don't see how Trump comes out of this looking good. If he wasn't briefed and Vice President Pence was not briefed, why? Why were they not briefed? If they were briefed and it was an oral briefing, as well as in the written, right, the daily written briefing, why doesn't he remember? If it was just written and not oral, why didn't they feel it important to bring it up? No matter how you spin it, one, it's not just a partisan issue. Trump is not going to be able to spin this as a Republican-Democrat thing, as an attack on him. He doesn't look good. And two, there is a huge chasm here of this information and a White House administration that needs to know about it.
Well, I had that opinion, too, until I heard John Bolton interviewed yesterday on Meet the Press. And, of course, Bolton was the head of national security for the president. And he said there's a lot of intel that comes across the transom. And you don't know, I mean, there's so much you can't share everything with the president. But in this particular case, he wasn't sure about the quality of the intelligence, whether it was reliable. As of yesterday, he did not know that. So he's raising questions about that. You know, are those who are being interviewed on the ground really being truthful? Hard to say. But in any event, first of all, it's terrible if Russia is paying for bounty hunters to go after our sons and daughters who are fighting in Afghanistan. But it's exactly what we did in the late 1980s when Bill Casey was the director of the CIA, and he was followed up by William Webster of Webster Groves. And they had a program to fund the Mujahideen, the Afghan rebels. They trained them in Pakistan with the sole purpose of fighting the Soviets in Afghanistan. So I'm sure that Russia is just getting even by funding those who are battling us.
All right. Well, we will take a break here, and we'll be back with round three of OT on The Voice of St. Louis. It's 8:49.
I want to hear more.
This is Overtime on KMOX.
It's 8:52, and it's round three of OT with Charlie Brennan, Amy Marskors. I'm Debbie Monterey, and I have to say, this one surprised me. Mississippi will retire the last state flag in the United States with the Confederate battle emblem more than a century after white supremacist legislators adopted that design. A broad coalition of lawmakers voted Sunday for change as the state was facing increasing pressure amid nationwide protests against racial injustice. Amy, are you surprised that they voted so quickly to get rid of it, or that it lasted this long?
I don't think either, because I think there was nobody across the country. I think we can all say, like, nobody is waving the Confederate flag saying we think slavery should be back. Do you know what I mean? Like, it didn't represent slavery. It was there historically, because when they first put the flag in, right, it was in the late 1800s, and you had people saying, well, I want to honor our fathers and brothers who died. So I think there was this kind of understanding that times had changed and people had changed, and nobody was looking at that flag longing for antebellum times. Now, am I surprised that they voted quickly? No, because now people realize, hey, this could represent a lot of things to people that could be hurtful or just downright inappropriate. And yeah, we shouldn't necessarily be honoring the Confederacy, which was pro-slavery and also broke off from the Union. So I can see how it lasted as people not just change their mindset, but became more sensitive to how those things could affect other people.
Well, I think it was simpler than that. First of all, I think that they did it completely the appropriate way. They voted on it. They discussed it. They debated it, and then they voted. And so that's the way all of these monuments and memorials should be, judged. But when the African-American football players at Ole Miss, along with some of the coaches, said that they were not going to play again as long as that flag was in place, you knew people may have had a change of heart. Maybe they didn't. I don't know. I think that was what changed everything.
We don't care what you think about the flag. Wait, no football?
Exactly.
Okay.
But you know what I mean? Like the people who live in Mississippi, because that was their flag, that doesn't mean that, like, oh, we all support antebellum times. A lot of them were just born there a few decades ago and are like, oh yeah, this could be bad. This could be hurtful to people. We're more sensitive to that. Let's take it down. Do you know what I mean? Everything's pitted as if these are evil, intrinsically evil people, the people of Mississippi. And that's just not what it is.
All right, we have to take a break here. And why don't you tell us, Charlie, what's coming up after news at the top?
Well, it's going to be a barn burner. We're going to talk about the statue of St. Louis on Art Hill. Big confrontation there over the weekend. Plus, the mayor releasing the addresses of the protesters. We'll get into that and invite some phone calls. Plus, a pro-con on the privatization of the airport with the president of the Board of Aldermen, Lou Reed, and Kara Spencer, a member of the Board of Aldermen.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.